All right, everybody, welcome to the WWE podcast and the Monday Night Raw review that's going to get underway in just a moment. And a Monday Night Raw that I would say I've enjoyed the most since we've been dealing with this 4 week or 5 week long empty arena format. So I'm going to give you guys some good stuff. For those that think I complain too much, I do have a lot of positives to talk about in this show. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But before we do, we're going to take a moment for the sponsors of the show. And we'll be right back on the other side with all of your Monday Night Raw review and my further response to Ronda Rousey and her absolute idiocy coming up right after this. So are you guys looking for a wrestling podcast with an edge? Then check out F the Main Roster. They are two uncouth MFers that talk about wrestling, specifically NXT and AEW Dynamite, hence the name F the Main Roster. One of them doesn't watch NXT, and his partner doesn't watch AEW. So when they get together, most of it's new to them. They tend to smoke the devil's lettuce during shows so it can break down into ridiculousness real quick. And they've even talked about John Cena's rap career and how he's the greatest rapper of all time. And they talked about the former greatness of TNA's X Division, and how Road Dogg Jesse James is top 5 dead or alive. Mostly, it's just a couple of friends BSing. You can listen to them on Stitcher, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Again, it's called F, the Main Roster. The letter F, the Main Roster. You can also find them on Facebook at facebook.com/F the Main Roster, or on Podbean as well at ftmr.podbean.com. So check them out. Trust me, you'll have a lot of fun listening to this one. Check out the podcast Cast Burgers, a regrettably hard to Google name combining the words podcast and Asperger's about the life of a world traveling alcoholic and stand up comedian who thinks prostitution should be legal for medicinal purposes. It can be found on any podcast streaming service, including some on YouTube, or go to anchor.fm/Eli17. That's anchor.fm/ELI17. If you don't laugh, you can personally message him at Caspergers on Instagram. That's at Cast, P-E-R-G-E-R-S on Instagram, and tell him that you hate him. It will hurt his feelings.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? 'Cause Stone Cold said so.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. We're going to get into Monday Night Raw that emanated from, you guessed it, Orlando, Florida, for the fourth week in a row in the Performance Center. And we are just getting used to these no fans in attendance shows, aren't we? It's a sad state of affairs when we actually start to notice that there are no people there, and it doesn't bother you as much as it did the first or the second or even as much as last week. It is starting to improve in terms of our brains adjusting to the new norm, and I think that's partly due to the human psychology of adaptation, and I also think it's due to simply the fact that WWE is putting on better shows and they're starting to learn how to adapt themselves and be able to put on shows that they are, that aren't built around crowd reaction, and that the performers, the wrestlers, excuse me, are also getting used to no fans in attendance. So they don't speak as if they're going to get a reaction as it, when they did the first couple of weeks. They're starting to adjust to the fact that they're not going to get any crowd reaction. There's no audible response to what they're going to say or do in the ring, and that they need to adjust accordingly. They may not pause where they normally pause and so forth. So it's getting better, and I think that is a combination of things. So hopefully, again, not just because it's getting better do I want it to continue, but making the good out of a bad situation is what WWE is doing. And if you haven't heard, they are essential. They are an essential part of the Florida services. The Florida governor had come out and said, I believe it was on April 9th, something around that time frame, April 7th, and put out a memorandum, if you will, that basically essential services should remain open, and that includes WWE, entertainment, and so forth. So WWE is considered an essential service, which, hey, I know that people are getting hung up on the word essential, and maybe you could take that out of it. But I think that ultimately maybe it is essential for the mental state of people that need an escape and rely on wrestling for that mental escape. Millions of people watch every week. And I think that based on what you deem essential, it could be essential. And I know that many of you may think that it's a stretch to say, well, if you're talking about essential life and death, that's not essential. Well, maybe it is, because I think that people being cooped up for this long, and there's still no end in sight, that it's going to take a mental toll on people. I think ultimately suicide rates will probably increase, depression rates will increase, and something that is preventative or therapeutic in WWE and other entertainment services is essential. So when you say essential, we all automatically go to nurses, doctors, and so forth. I mean, yeah, those people are essential, but essential can mean different things to different people. So I know that a lot of, you know, I've heard negative feedback about WWE being essential. How can you put them in the same category? Well, they're under the same umbrella, but they're not the same thing as doctors going in and nurses going in and risking their lives, or food service worker, or grocery store workers, or whatever. I mean, that is still an essential service too. So, hey, I'm not going to sit and argue with myself, but you guys get the drift. So WWE is going to continue their services. That's what they do. They provide a service of entertainment. And that's what they're going to do from here until further notice. I mean, and that's a great thing for those of us that are using wrestling for a weekly escape, and look forward to the development storylines and the following of characters. And it's just an overall good thing to have, I think. And so, again, with WWE doing these empty arenas, I think some shows have been better than others. Some moments have been kind of weird, and some moments have been just downright good. I mean, we all remember the Bray Wyatt, John Cena promo that happened a number of weeks ago before WrestleMania. That was probably the highlight of this entire COVID-19 format of professional wrestling that we were all getting used to now on a weekly basis. But I think we're starting to adapt, and eventually our lives will return to normal. I know that, and again, this is not a COVID-19, coronavirus, whatever, Chinese virus. And God almighty, if anyone thinks that Chinese virus is racist, good Lord. Have you ever heard of German measles? Okay. Have you ever heard of the Spanish flu? Okay. And by the way, Chinese is a nationality, not an ethnicity. So there's that. For God's sakes, people losing their minds over calling it the Chinese virus. The fact of the matter is, it's a virus that we all want gone, right? We all want to see it receive a good old-fashioned stone-cold stunner to leave our lives, to get us back to normal. And I think, you know, there's a lot of talk about, hey, we're looking at May 1st. And, well, I don't know. I think it's going to depend on the part of your country you're in. Trump's leaving it to the different governors. So that means that if you're in New York, like myself, you're screwed. Because the fact of the matter is, we have more cases by a long and wide margin than any other state in the entire union. So, hey, I think if you're in New York, you're screwed. If you're anywhere else, like Montana, you probably have a better shot of reopening, at least in a somewhat more relaxed state, maybe not full blast, but in the next few weeks. I mean, but time will tell. Anyway, let's move on to wrestling, which is why we're here. And I'm going to give you a quick shot of Raw, and I want to talk about the Seth Rollins angle at the top of the show here. And then I want to get back to a Ronda Rousey comments that I had a couple of days ago on her whole spiel on the Steve-O podcast, which I have some very strong opinion on. If you want to hear more of a detailed opinion on that, you can check out my quick hits, which I hope you guys are enjoying. I don't have any music for it. There's no intro. I haven't invested any money to pay or paid anybody to create an intro for it. I don't know if it needs it. It's just kind of an informal, hey, I want to pop on. And really, I do it through my iPhone. So it's pretty good quality in terms of audio, I think. But anyway, I did a 20-minute rant on Ronda Rousey, so I'll get to that and further comments that I have. But I want to start off talking about Rollins, Seth Rollins, who throughout the show was staring very creepily into the camera. And he made a religious toned promo right off the bat. And I know that many people, especially those of you that are Christian, may take offense to this, that, you know, he has risen. And we're right off the heels of Easter. And I understand that. And by the way, we'll get to Jerry Lawler's comments as well on commentary that people are losing their minds over. And I'm going to try to talk you off the ledge as this super sensitive wrestling audience has come to fruition again and have used their power of their thumbs to eviscerate Jerry Lawler for his comments. So everybody, I'm going to talk you off the ledge of that in a minute as well. So a lot of stuff to cover here. But with Seth Rollins, he cuts these promos throughout the show. He's woven throughout the show. He talked about how he's risen and how he's going to stomp out. He's going to stomp out the competition. I think something to that effect, meaning, you know, somebody's getting the stomp by the end of the show. And I actually forgot about Seth Rollins until he had come out after the McIntyre Andrade main event, which I thought was a great main event, by the way. It was physical as hell. I mean, those chops from McIntyre are brutal. You can't fake those. Okay. Those were just, I could feel them from my living room. So Andrade took a few, and I know that Angel Garza did as well, or Austin Theory, I can't remember, one of the two. Which, by the way, I'm liking that group. More comments to come on that. But with Drew McIntyre in there against Andrade, I was hoping, honestly, that this was a program that would last a little longer. But with Andrade already carrying a major championship, you don't call it title, you call it championship, then you knew that this was probably going to be a one-off. And it was just establishing the pecking order of champions. And rightfully so, Drew McIntyre is on top. I just wish that maybe Andrade wasn't carrying the belt at this point, the United States Championship, simply for the fact that I would have loved to have seen a longer run of a program with Andrade and Drew McIntyre, because they work so well together. Their promos against one another on Monday last night were really good. The reminder to us about what happened in NXT, how Andrade took 6 months of Drew's career after that DDT off of the top or second rope, whatever it was, and the scar that Drew McIntyre showed that he had. It was all based in realism. Obviously, we know it was an accident, and they're trying to frame it as on purpose, and that's just what you do. No, I'm not, you know, I'm not getting critical about that. That's what you do, and that's a smart thing to do. But I just wish that Andrade didn't have the belt, and you could see this program last a little longer to have Andrade sniff the belt, never overcome Drew McIntyre, because I don't think Andrade is there. But Andrade, on a weekly basis, is showing you why he's a United States champion. He's, you know, second in command, if you will, to the top belt on Raw, which is the WWE Championship, arguably the most prestigious belt in the entire company. I don't even think that's an argument. Inarguably, let's put it that way, the most prestigious belt in WWE. And you can make a case for the Intercontinental title, of course, but I think the WWE Championship has the longest or most prestigious lineage, the biggest names who have held that championship. I know the IC title, certainly with the inaugural winner of Pat Patterson. We all know what the Intercontinental title has done for many guys over the years, with Austin and Rock being both Intercontinental champion, and we all know what it means. But I know the WWE Championship is by far the most prestigious and holds the most value. So with that being said, you would have Drew win against Andrade here. It just makes sense. And it was a very well laid out main event. You have Seth Rollins with a minute and a half to go on Raw come out, super kick Drew McIntyre, and then give him a stomp, not once, but twice. And if you listen, one of the producers, or I think it might have been a referee, after the first stomp was delivered, and there was about 25 seconds to go or so, you heard him say to the guys, hey, we have a few seconds left, second stomp, You could hear it. It's underneath the audio, but you can hear it. And so those kind of calls need to be a little bit, I think, drowned out or edited out. And I think that clearly was an audible call by Vince McMahon and Gorilla saying, hey, a few more seconds, a couple more seconds, and we had Drew get stomped a second time. It's fine. I mean, I'm fine with the second stomp. Just maybe kind of cover your calls. And but overall, I mean, I'm fine with this. I thought, honestly, that they would keep these two apart for a while because this is a marquee main event. This is a main event that you could build to SummerSlam. And maybe they're saving Brock in a rematch at SummerSlam, or maybe a triple threat of sorts with Brock and Rollins and Brock Rollins and Drew, or maybe Brock Owens and Drew. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can go here. Maybe some kind of fatal four-way nonsense. I think ultimately you're going to see Brock Lesnar's name back into the mix come SummerSlam as he retreats into his little hole in Montana after WrestleMania, as he does every year. And now he's just back until Vince needs him or until SummerSlam season, which is just when he comes out of hibernation again. So now the only thing I would take a exception to on this, and really this is simply just booking of WWE's, just it's in their fabric, it's in their DNA of how men and women are awarded championship opportunities. And that is simple. I've said it before on this show. I will continue to say it because it makes zero sense. Zero. I've just, you know what, for years and years, I've just accepted it as a wrestling fan. And maybe it wasn't until I started just doing a podcast that when I watch shows, I look at them with a critical eye, you know, because as a podcaster, you don't just sit and watch kind of brainlessly. I mean, I do to an extent, of course, because it's entertainment, but you're looking for things that you could use as talking points for your show and notes that you want, mental notes you want to take, that you could bring up and pose as questions for your audience. And I get all that. But this is one that's been really sticking in my craw, so to speak. Have I ever said that in my life? No, I don't know where that came from. But when somebody wants a championship opportunity, what's the golden rule in WWE? Do you earn it through a tournament? Do you go to management and beg and plead? What do you do on air? I'm not talking about in real life, backstage, politics. I'm talking about on air. Presentation. How it's presented that people are awarded the championship opportunity. What do? Everybody say it at once together with me. Attack the champion. Very good. Very good. You attack the champion. That's all you have to do. You don't have to earn it through a tournament or scratch and claw for years and years. You don't have to kiss the boss's ass. You don't have to go through any kind of gauntlet matches or any kind of win-loss records, because those don't matter, and God knows those don't matter in WWE. Nope. It's very simple, folks. You just attack the champion. And we saw this again on Monday night. And while I love the pairing of Rollins and Drew, I love it. I think that match could be very, very good. And I like the pairing. I like the personality clash. I like that Seth is what Drew is, and what the fans wanted Seth to be that he never was is what Drew is in terms of the organic connection. It doesn't feel forced. Drew feels like a natural babyface. He is a true alpha male. He is easily likable. He cuts an authentic promo where Seth was a very forced babyface promo. He's great in the ring, but he never felt organically connected. He went to the wee crap. You guys know this. So it's the style could be good. The story could be good. And I think that Seth will bring that out next week, that, you know, you're the guy that the fans wanted me to be last year. Right. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can draw from it for next week of the logic and reason behind why Seth did what he did. So I'm interested to hear that. And maybe Seth will have his crew back with him. I think I need his crew because there was a lot of good happening with his disciples, or whatever you want to call them. And I don't know where they are right now. Seth has just kind of been on his own over the last few weeks, but that's all you have to do, folks. You attack a champion, you get an opportunity. I mean, that's how it works in baseball, right? That's how it works in football. And that's how it works in basketball. You would just attack the champion and, you get an opportunity. You may be so angry, I'm going to put my title on the line and reward you. I'm going to reward you with an attack from behind, with putting what I fought for on the line. Think about that. think about that. Those of you that think I'm just bitching and moaning, I'm way too negative, whatever, just sit and think about this. And if you're, oh, it's entertainment, you don't have to think too hard. Well, maybe that's a referendum on you and not me to not even care about how championships are earned, how championship opportunities are earned, right? I don't think that's too far or too heavy of a lift to ask that that logic goes away. And furthermore, when you have Seth Rollins lose at WrestleMania clean, he's rewarded with a championship opportunity. See, this is where the booking is backwards. This is where the booking is backwards. And so nonetheless, those are just my thoughts. I'm really excited about the program. There's a lot they can draw from. I think it's going to be a great clash of personalities. And I think the chemistry is going to be there in the ring and on the mic. This could be something really special. And it's a shame. Again, it's a real damn shame this isn't in front of fans. But this could be one of the best feuds that we've seen, at least in the pandemic era of WWE. Maybe that's what this is going to be called. The pandemic era. I highly doubt it, right? Not going to happen. But I'm excited about that. And we'll continue to just swallow that pill of illogic idiocy of attacking champions to get opportunities. I mean, that's just what happens. So, all right, guys. Well, I'm going to take a quick break. And then on the other side, we're going to get to Ronda Rousey. We're going to get to the word buddy being bleeped out of WWE. Yeah. Rey Mysterio saying Buddy Murphy got bleeped out. Don't believe me? Go watch it on Hulu. And we're also going to get to Jerry Lawler's comments that people are losing their minds about. As I said, Ronda Rousey, I really have some very, very poignant follow-up to what I had said a night or two ago on that. So stay right here. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the WWE Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
So are you guys looking for a wrestling podcast with an edge? Then check out F the Main Roster. They are two uncouth MFers that talk about wrestling, specifically NXT and AEW Dynamite, hence the name F the Main Roster. One of them doesn't watch NXT, and his partner doesn't watch AEW. So when they get together, most of it's new to them. They tend to smoke the devil's lettuce during shows so it can break down into ridiculousness real quick. And they've even talked about John Cena's rap career and how he's the greatest rapper of all time. And they talked about the former greatness of TNA's X Division and how Road Dogg Jesse James is top five dead or alive. Mostly, it's just a couple of friends BSing. You can listen to them on Stitcher, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Again, it's called F the Main Roster, the letter F, the Main Roster. You can also find them on Facebook at facebook.com/F the Main Roster. Or on Podbean as well at ftmr.podbean.com. So check them out. Trust me, you'll have a lot of fun listening to this one.
You're listening to Kingdom Entrepreneur Community, the podcast for Christian women entrepreneurs and leaders who want to fulfill God's calling, be successful in life, in business, and help other women to flourish in life, trusting God and putting Him at the center of her business. Now here is your host, Marta Sampson, a bilingual life and business coach.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. So let's get to the Ronda Rousey debacle. The absolute debacle that is this extremely immature 33-year-old woman. Made a lot of money. She certainly made a lot of her money. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, guys, and you're like, what the hell is he talking about now? What's he complaining about? Go listen to, and you know what? This is an endorsement on Steve-O, okay? You all know what I think about him. His voice is nails on a chalkboard. I have no idea how in the hell he ever got a podcast. I said this before. He is just, he's unlistenable, but he's got a trillion more subscribers than I do. But I think without Jackass, this guy would just be living under a bridge somewhere. But the fact that he got Ronda Rousey on there, certainly a big score. I'm sure it brought a lot of subscribers, a lot of listens, ad revenue, all that. So congrats to him. I mean, but I his voice is just, it's It's awful. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, go listen to the Ronda Rousey or watch the Ronda Rousey podcast with Steve-O that I launched a few days ago. And just listen to her, right? I mean, she is one of the most successful, immature women that I've ever seen in a professional sport. That you look at what she's accomplished and you would think that she would have her head on straight. When in fact, she just continues to open her mouth and prove people right that she doesn't. And I enjoyed her run in WWE. If she's talking about ungrateful fans, again, if they're ungrateful because they didn't cheer you when they should have, that's how fans are. Welcome to pro wrestling. Welcome to professional wrestling. If the fans don't like something, what are they going to do? Boo your ass. That's just what they do. If you're such a big fan and you can't understand that, it's amazing how little you've learned in the amount of time you were there. And also to not even be able to come up with your own gimmick. And I never even brought this up, but the more I thought about Ronda Rousey in WWE, she certainly caught on quick. Nobody's disputing that. She had a great debut at WrestleMania with Kurt Angle teaming against Triple H and Stephanie. We all know the game. We all know what she can and can't do in the ring. But she had a very successful debut, a good run in WWE. But to rip off Roddy Piper, I mean, that's straight up gimmick infringement. I mean, you can't come up with anything else. Oh, you're a fan of Roddy Piper. Great. Well, Sasha Banks was a fan of The Rock, and you see her coming out saying, just bring it? I mean, a lot of the people who are there now, my age, that were fans of the Attitude Era stars aren't ripping off the Attitude Era stars. And she comes out, and I never caught on with the Rowdy thing. I mean, Roddy Piper was one of a kind. Don't try to piggyback on Roddy Piper just because you were a fan of his. You had no affiliation whatsoever. He wasn't your dad, okay? So Charlotte mimicking Ric Flair, it's because that's her dad, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, world champion of all time. So she has to go and piggyback off of Roddy Piper because, oh, I'm a fan of him. I mean, that's straight up lazy. Okay? And then, again, she's talking about how hard it is. She had to work 200 days a year. And you know what? I'm taking some points from Jim Cornette, which, by the way, I tweeted out a link to the podcast if you guys want to go listen, or to the Jim Cornette response to Ronda Rousey. And Cornette retweeted it, which thanks Cornette. You are it's appreciated, okay, because it got more people to see my tweet, which means it got more people to see your view of what Ronda said. So it's a brilliant response to Ronda Rousey, better than I could ever say it. He's got the mouth of a trucker, but it fits and it's awesome. So I'm becoming more and more of a fan of Jim Cornette. I really am. I just love his poignancy. I love the way he talks about things. He's got a potty mouth. I don't care. Okay. Anybody that's offended by that kind of stuff, you're probably not watching wrestling anyway, but he brings up some good points. Ronda Rousey was paid likely well over $1 million to have this run for a year. I mean, we don't know the details of the contract. I think it's pretty damn safe to say that she probably got paid $1 million, $1.5 million, as Cornette pointed out. Again, I'm not coming up with some of these points as original thoughts. Yeah, you're ripping off Cornette. No, I'm just giving my own kind of spin and interpretation of what he said, because he brings up some damn good points. And so she's complaining about all this stuff, how ungrateful the fans are. Oh, the same fans that afforded you this contract, and then furthermore, buy your merchandise to give you a royalty check. All those ungrateful fans, are those the ones you're talking about? Or are you that butthurt over the fact that they booed you when they should have cheered you? Do you feel like you're due that amount of admiration? You're in a different world, sweetheart. You're in a different world if you are that sensitive to a crowd reaction, if you're talking about that's what ungrateful fans are, the ones that are lining your pockets, those ones. Oh yeah, those ones, right? I mean, she's a child. Look, she could kick my ass. She could kick most men's asses that are just kind of your average Joe. I get it. That's not what's at stake here. I mean, if you think I'm discrediting her physical abilities, that's not what I'm doing. I'm discrediting her approach to wrestling, her attitude, and her immaturity towards every time she speaks. You can just see in her eyes she's unstable. Anybody else get that look? Like, you look at her, even in a podcast, I'm looking at her with Steve-O, right? She just looks unstable. Like, she looks very vindictive. She looks spiteful. She has a holier-than-thou type of look at her. I can't explain it. The more I look at her, the more I feel what I see. And what did she do? She did what she always does. She loses and goes into hiding. And look what she did with Holly Holm. She lost two fights in a row at UFC and then went, you know, hidden and ran like a child. That's what children do. That's what children do. They just go into hiding. Okay? It's her comments, too, about wrestling, right? Fake fights for fun with my friends. She said that, and that in and of itself is just like, it just shows you the level of maturity she has at 33 years old. I mean, it just does. And she goes on to talk about how she elevated the women's division. She took them and elevated and then said, basically, fly birdies, fly, or something to that effect of like, basically saying she elevated the entire division and then just let everyone, you know, ride her wave and fly to wherever they can, as high as they can, right? And then in the same breath talks about fake fights for fun with her friends. Now, that is a slap in the face to everyone you worked with. So if they're your friends, then you just tore down everybody that and slapped the face of all the women and really the men, figuratively, of the company and the sport, the profession. You just crapped on everybody. I mean, to think that you are responsible for the elevation or the level at which the women are at right now, you are sadly mistaken. With the women's revolution, evolution began long before Ronda Rousey was the thought in the twinkle of an eye of a wrestling fan. And when this happened, it was organic. It was about the women that were there, not the women that we wanted to get. And we wanted to see them give a chance. Hashtag give divas a chance, right? And then Ronda Rousey gets put into the picture. She brings her star power with her. But I really don't believe the women's division would be any worse off if Ronda Rousey had not been there. And you could point to, oh, Becky Lynch. You know what? I think Becky Lynch, as great as it was with her and Ronda, the chemistry they had, WWE made a critical mistake of putting Charlotte Flair in there. And I'll get to her promo on Monday too, which just made no sense for them to say what they said. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But I really think that the women's division would be just fine without Ronda had she never existed in WWE and just had the one spot at WrestleMania 32 or whatever it was with The Rock and Triple H and Steph. I think the women's division would have been just fine. So for her to sit there and think that she is responsible for elevating the women in Fly Birdies Fly, again, she's delusional. Her maturity level is that of an 8-year-old schoolgirl. I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm not trying to make you laugh. This is true. She probably prides herself on a tell it like it is, spiteful. I say what I feel. I have no filter, as if that's some kind of asset. No, that shows a level of immaturity for you to not be able to think before you speak. That's what that shows. It's just an exposure. She's using that as a cover, a mask for what her flaw is and flaws are. I'm not perfect. Okay, so this is not a referendum on me. This is about Ronda Rousey. I know some of you out there are talking about, oh, you're picking her apart. No, she's a world-class athlete, right? She's a world-class athlete, and she comes in and did a, I think, very good job in WWE, gets butthurt by the fans, goes home, hides again, because that's what she does after she loses. And yeah, it was a planned loss, but the story is still the same from UFC. But she is using, I think, if you were to speak with her, she is trying to put a spin on how she talks about things and her attitude, the way she acts. It's really like putting lipstick on a pig. It is, and I don't mean that in a derogatory, oh, she's a pig. I mean it in, it's an expression to say that you can dress up something ugly and make it look as pretty as you want. At the end of the day, it's still a flaw, something ugly. So, nonetheless, I'm going to move on. I digress. Go listen to Jim Cornette. He can explain this way better than I can in terms of just tearing down everything that she said. His foul language is, I mean, it's hilarious. I love Jim Cornette and his Jim Cornette Experience. So there's your free plug, Jim. I mean, really, he's brilliant on the mic. He tells it like it is, but he owns it. And he's intelligent enough to respond to arguments that are plain stupid and things that are just disrespectful to the business. That's the ultimate thing. It's disrespectful to the business. As much as you think you elevated everyone, no, you're actually going to, you're tearing them down by trying to minimize what they do. You're minimizing what they do. And I, you know what? As much as I don't like Nia Jax on some of the things she said on Twitter, I have to give her credit for responding to Ronda Rousey and basically saying, you know, come over here and we'll show you how fake it is. I mean, to something, I don't have the exact tweet in front of me, but Ronda or Nia Jax did respond to Rousey. The whole thing is just, it's fascinating. So go take a look at that. And it's frustrating. So, all right, well, let's move on here to something else that happened on Monday Night Raw. And that would be the Zelina Vega show, basically. And her being in, what was she in, like four segments, five segments? Part of commentary. She was in a backstage segment. She's putting together this Austin Theory, Angel Garza, and Andrade group that ultimately just got fed to Drew McIntyre. So I have mixed feelings on that, but Zelina Vega being the head of a faction is something that I believe Mary Grader and I, one of my co-hosts, came up with. She came up with, I believe. So I'll give her the credit because I'll just give a benefit of the doubt. I believe she did. We agreed that having her as the spokesperson for a faction would be damn brilliant. And that's what we got Monday night. And having her invested in everything that happens in the ring, every little thing is, her reactions are genuine. I love the way that she speaks. We've said many times that she could have a great run as a single. I mean, we all know that she can wrestle, but I think that she has a great, great future ahead of her, whether it is in the ring or whether it's as a managerial role or a combination of both. We got to see more of Zelina last night, and that was a positive. And there's just so much talent there. Even getting in the face of Drew McIntyre in the main event at the beginning of the match is it's great because she knows she's got backup. I mean, not that Drew would have done anything physical to her because it's not the Attitude Era, but she knew that she had backup with Austin Theory and with Andrade and Angel Garza, which I hope this group takes off. I hope, and I don't think it's going to be a one-off. I think number one, it's a new, and everybody loves new, because it's new. But does it have staying power? Does it have validity? Does it have substance? I think the answer is yes to all of those questions. You have Austin Theory, a guy that many people didn't even know his name when he came up a few weeks ago, has blended in very nicely, very quietly into this group. He's a very young guy, in great shape, has a great in-ring presence and can go in the ring. Andrade is established, the most veteran guy of the group, the leader, the de facto leader, although you have Zelina at the helm as the spokesperson. And then you have Angel Garza, who's got a little bit of Eddie Guerrero in him and has a presence as well. This could really be something. This really could be something on Raw. I really, really hope that they give these guys a true chance to shine. I know that Drew McIntyre was the payoff. They were being used and built on Raw, throughout Raw, as a really as a payoff for Drew to make him look super strong. And I get that. That makes sense for where Drew came at WrestleMania, beating Brock, beating Big Show. So I understand that. And I'm fine with it as long as next week they get their heat back in a big way and they continue to get heat on them. And maybe they end up, two of them end up challenging for the Raw Tag Team titles against the Street Profits. I could see that happening, right? With, well, it'd have to be Austin Theory again and Angel Garza. I mean, yeah, you could say we've been down that road, but to have all three men carrying gold, I think there's value there. There's definitely value there. So again, there's a lot you can do here because they're new. I hope they come up with a name. Maybe they do the Seth Rollins road and just don't come up with a name. I don't have to have one, but I like this pairing. I like all three men. They complement each other's styles. They seem to fit. You have Zelina Vega being the mouthpiece, which is brilliant in and of itself. So I hope these three run roughshod. They attacked each of their opponents after their matches. And it was good stuff. Or as, well, I'm not going to say it, but you know what Vince McMahon would say? Oh, that's good. Yeah, you know the word. All right, and now we're going to get to a little bit of a controversial thing that Jerry Lawler said on commentary. And this came during a match with, then said, Austin Theory and Akira Tozawa. Now, Jerry Lawler is on commentary, which, you know, I wonder why he's even there, given that he is the perfect candidate for this coronavirus to attack. He's got history with heart issues and, you know, so on and so forth. So why Jerry Lawler's there for his own safety and health is still beyond me. They don't need him in the commentary seat, but he's there. Fine. So he cuts a bit of a comment here talking about Akira Tozawa when he did a dive off the top rope. Lawler called it, and I quote, a ramen noodle moonsault. And that really received a lot of backlash from fans. He received a lot of backlash from fans about Akira Tozawa, called it a ramen noodle moonsault. Now, we all know what this is referencing, right? We all know that it references the fact that Akira Tozawa is Japanese and Japanese people like to eat noodles. I mean, is it that simple? And yet people jump to racism. It's really crazy. And, you know, I've had people say, oh, well, last week, when the Street Profits came out, he said there's Kool-Aid in the cups, referencing the stereotype about black people having Kool-Aid and liking watermelon. I mean, my God, I don't need to get into the nitty gritty of it. But people, I don't know how those people who are wrestling fans now would have ever survived the Attitude Era. I mean, seriously, are fans that sensitive today that they're just trained to go to social media anytime they sniff out a possible racist comment? I mean, is everything just racism? Is that just the easy, lazy go-to accusation that you make when you don't like something someone says? Someone explain to me, please. Not that ramen noodle or noodles per se are tied to Japanese culture and food, right? Because we all know that that is a part of Japanese food. And a big part of Japanese food is noodles. They use it for a lot of different things in many different meals. Tell me how that's racist, though. Tell me how associating what Japanese people eat to what Jerry Lawler said as racist. For God's sakes, please. Somebody, explain to me how that's racist. Is it just because, oh, he made an assimilation with what the Japanese culture like to eat, and it's also, he tied it to a wrestling move? I mean, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. We're actually at this stage in our lives where people just have social media at their fingertips and say, hey, I don't like what I said. Oh, I think that's racist. Let me put it up. Let me start a war here. It's an awful reflection of see what Jim Cornette said about these fans. I mean, I can't repeat it on air. Just go to Jim Cornette's Twitter feed. He said it perfectly. Actually, you know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull it up on my little computer here. And I'm really curious I'm not curious. I want to read this to you with the bleeps in my own voice here. So Jim Cornette had responded to this whole thing about how he said, so now people are mad at Jerry Lawler for telling a joke. Now I understand why modern wrestling sucks, because most modern wrestling fans are such whiny little, starts with a P. They don't deserve good wrestling. How do these people go out in public without breaking out in tears? I love it. Jim Cornette, this man is like my long lost father. as far as like his opinions and things go, obviously I have no issue with my own dad, but you guys get the message. And I love it because it's true. There are so many whiny little snowflakes out there that just have to take everything to the nth degree and scream racism. It's such a tired victim approach. And you also have everyone getting offended on behalf of somebody else. How is that even a thing? How are you offended on behalf of somebody else? Tell me. But that's what people do now. So people just are just so conditioned to sniff out anything that resembles racism and scream about it and try to create something out of nothing. But anyway, I'm going to move on. It's worth noting, though, that WWE moved this out of the Hulu version of Raw. I didn't hear it. I had to actually go back to Twitter and see why the hell Jerry Lawler's trending to see it. And it's... Come on, folks. Seriously. All right. But moving on. The WWE also not only deleted and censored that comment, which is just stupid, but they also deleted and censored the word buddy, because that's apparently an offensive term too. The word buddy is offensive. I mean, we had Rey Mysterio come in and cut a promo with Charlie Caruso about what this qualifying match for the Money in the Bank ladder match for next week means to him. And his opponent next week is Murphy. And you could tell that he actually said buddy. And WWE distorted some of what it sounded like Byron Murphy. Go look at it. His lips don't match what the audio is showing or what you're hearing. So it's funny that they actually blurted out and bleeped out and distorted the word buddy, because that's not his name anymore. I'm sure he got reamed out for that. So it's just amazing. It's amazing. Okay, moving on though. I wanted to talk about Becky Lynch's promo and Charlotte's promo. Because Becky Lynch comes out and basically responded to those people who think she's turning heel. I believe it's almost as if she was responding to this show. I don't think she is, obviously. But some of the things that I've been saying and hosts on this show have been saying about where she's at, it's almost like she addressed directly. And we had Becky Lynch come out and she addressed the beating Shayna Baszler at Mania and said someone like Baszler, who's a bully, can never beat someone who's been grinding her way through anything. The Raw Women's Champ also declared that the Money in the Bank winner, whoever it may be, to name a time and place to take her on anywhere for the title. Basically, she came out and addressed the fact that, yeah, I may be arrogant, but that's maybe what I wanted you to think. And she kind of addressed the fact that what you've been seeing is maybe not who she really is. And, I mean, is that something that I really want to believe about Becky Lynch? That she's not showing us her true self at the expense of keeping the belt? So you're not being true to yourself or being true to the fans of trying to be somebody else and pretend you're arrogant when you're really not, or you know, vice versa. So you're basically lying to all of us about who you are. So who are you? Right. So she almost kind of worked herself into another heel turn here inadvertently. But I get what they were going for, addressing things on the surface about how she's been acting lately. And it may be Baszler again, who wins the Money in the Bank briefcase. And they have a match again. I don't know. I mean, there's certainly going to be a case to be made for other competitors in this match. Hopefully it's not Shayna Baszler doing what she did at Elimination Chamber and just running through the entire roster. And it's just a dominant performance. What I'm looking forward to, be totally honest, because we had Shayna Baszler beat Sarah Logan in just it was a complete and utter one-sided victory, as was Nia Jax's against Kairi Sane, which is honestly criminal. I mean, Kairi Sane, I can't even remember the last time she won a match. And that's a damn shame. Because Kairi Sane is ultra-talented. She looked like she was going through the motions at Mania. She hasn't won a match. She's being used as enhancement talent for Nia Jax. Which, by the way, who's the heel and face in that match? It's heel-heel. I mean, so. But anyway, you had Shayna Baszler destroy Sarah Logan, made her tap, and now it's really the two top contenders in my eyes of Nia Jax coming face-to-face with Shayna Baszler. That's an interaction I want to see. That's an interaction that is the money. It's the money angle. It's the money moment you want to see at Money in the Bank. So that should be quite a moment whenever that does happen, because it seems like these two are on similar paths of just kind of running roughshod over their opponents. And again, I could see Sarah Logan being enhancement talent. She got more offense in than Shayna Baszler or than Kairi Sane. And Kairi Sane got almost nothing. Nothing. She got. I don't even know if she got an offensive move in for Nia Jax. It's damn criminal. But again, I'm looking forward to the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, because it's not just Shayna and everyone else. It's Shayna, Nia, and everyone else. If I were going to make an early call, I would say Shayna Baszler probably wins and then taunts Becky for the next few months. With Nia being a close second, maybe somebody can come in and screw her. But if she's a heel, then you're not going to want to have her get screwed. I don't know. I don't even know where Nia Jax is in terms of positioning her on a heel babyface roster. I don't know. I don't know if WWE knows. Apparently, that's not important enough to address. So, now, we also got a Charlotte Flair promo. It was a very well-rehearsed promo. And that's just what Charlotte does. She's a great deliverer of her lines, but not a great ad-lib from the gut, organic creator of her own material. At least that's how it's that's how I feel. If it's not right, then I'm reading it wrong. But this is how I see it and feel it. Nonetheless, she gives a promo. The topic here in the essay is history lessons. It feels like an essay, because she went through point by point very, very well. Very well. She's good at delivering, as I said. She explained how current history started with her winning the Rumble and her choice of whose title to challenge for. She talked about how she'd already dealt with Bex. I mean, can she just call her Becky Lynch? Do we need to get cute with names? And Bayley several times, and they didn't bother to make a challenge. But Rhea Ripley made the ballsy move to throw down the challenge, ultimately becoming the NXT champion by beating her at Mania. Flair said Ripley called her out because she wants to be like the queen, but she lacked humility and an understanding of there are levels to this. And then she said that she'll teach a lesson to Io Shirai, starting with the lesson one. Everyone bows to the queen. I mean, can it get any more written? When it's, as I'm seeing it on paper, it was created on paper. If you get a transcript of this promo, it was clearly written well, but you can never hide a created script. Very rarely can you hide a true created script that is word for word regurgitated from the deliverer. And it's fine. I get what they're going for. It's cute. It has some, you know, witty lines in it, as WWE loves to do. I get all of it, clearly written. I'm fine with Io Shirai and Flair. I don't see Flair losing it to Io Shirai. I know that she earned the opportunity, but I don't see it. It should be, a very good match with these two. The style of Shirai, I think, will complement Flair's nicely, but I don't see Flair dropping the belt for quite some time. I think she's, again, WrestleMania title defenses and title changes stick for a long time. Look at last year, and look no further than last year. So, with Flair keeping the NXT title, you would think that she's going to be transferred to NXT, but apparently she's just the NXT Women's Champion appearing on Raw. How does that work? I don't know. But those details, again, not something WWE looks at. We got Bobby Lashley and No Way Jose. Lashley defeated Noé Jose via pinfall, getting a little bit of something back. Although, I think you know, my wife could probably beat No Way Jose, because at least how he's presented at this point in the pecking order, he is, you know, he's not even at the bottom of the totem pole. He's buried underneath it. So we got Viking Raiders and Cedric Alexander and Ricochet. The Viking Raiders won, and I give this a B+. I mean, I really would. I really would. Maybe even an A. I might give this match an A. It was really that good. And I think Alexander and Ricochet are an undervalued team at this point. They're kind of the dark horse in the tag division. One that is going to, I think, take time to build. I would like them to get a little bit of mic time, for God's sakes. Maybe make them a little bit more established. Give them something for the fans to clam onto, and outside of being just really good in the ring. So this was a really good match. I really enjoyed it. And yeah, the Viking Raiders winning, and the outcome of this was, you know, if you were going to make me bet, that'd be a hard one to pick, because you had the Viking Raiders, who just came off of being tag team champions, kind of an underwhelming run, but tag team champions nonetheless, had a little bit of momentum. And then you have Cedric Alexander, Ricochet as the up-and-coming team. Who do you put over? Ultimately, I don't think fans will remember who won. You'll just remember how good in the ring that these two are, even in the loss. So that's how you win in a loss, is put on a good match and make fans remember what you did. So you know, overall, it was, I think, a good match. We also, MVP announced next week that'll be the Money in the Bank qualifying match. The men are going to be doing their qualifying matches next week, with Rey Mysterio and Murphy, Aleister Black and Austin Theory, and Apollo Crews and MVP. I mean, if I was going to pick who's coming out of that, you would think Aleister Black, you would think Mysterio, but there's too many baby faces. Probably Murphy, Black, and Crews. A Cruz, you know, MVP is not in this. I thought he retired anyway, by the way. Didn't he come out and try to beat Drew McIntyre's business associate, saying he's done within the ring and this is what he's doing now with his career? And all of a sudden he's in a Money in the Bank qualifying match with Apollo Crews? What? I mean, I think Vince McMahon sometimes doesn't give fans enough credit, or just doesn't care and thinks that we don't care. Well, we care. And I mean, MVP is a guy that is, I thought, was past this, and apparently he's not. He's just being used when needed to put over other talent. And I'm fine if it's at the expense of pushing Apollo Crews to that next level, because the announcers last week seemed to put over Crews more than normal. He put on a better match than normal, longer match than normal. It seems as if Crews is getting that second push of his career to show what he can do, and I think he'll beat MVP to get that opportunity. So it should be interesting. Oh, the other thing I want to mention, Asuka and Ruby Riott in the Women's Money in the Bank qualifying match. I really enjoyed this, way more than I thought I would. I'm also starting to enjoy Asuka anytime she opens her mouth, way more than I should. I know they initially said, I don't know whether it'll love her or hate her, in terms of WWE allowing her to just be on the mic and yell in Japanese and be, you know, basically a walking cartoon. Because sometimes it was eye-rolling and flat-out embarrassing, and other times it was kind of endearing and charming in a heel way. So I think she's reached that spot for me of, I've accepted they're just going to allow her to yell in Japanese, and occasionally you'll pick an English word out of there. I think Kairi Sane said the first word she's ever said, which was confidence. I think that's how she pronounced it. Confidence is the word that she said, and then Asuka went on her weird tangent about whatever in Japanese. And just ends with the nobody's ready for Asuka line, which is all we usually pick out from her promos, on top of easy peasy. I love that. I don't know why I found that so endearing and funny, her easy peasy line. So I would just let her run with the ball. I mean, just take it and run it to the end zone. Let her just be wacky, wild in a big cartoon on television. I don't care. I'm over it now. I'm on the side of just letting it go. I finally made my decision on Asuka and her promo work, if you want to even call it that. So, but again, this match with Ruby Riott, you have to give Riott credit here. She's able to counter the first attempt at the Asuka lock. She was physical. She worked way better than I ever thought she could. Maybe she hasn't got a true opportunity, but this put her on the map in my estimation, because she worked with a world-class talent like Asuka, who is, in terms of the pecking order of the women's division on Raw, higher up than Ruby is. And even in the loss, again, even in the loss, Ruby, I think, was elevated. She tapped out, but there's no shame in tapping out to Asuka at this point. And Ruby Riott made, I think, a statement. Oh, God, I just said the magic word. Everybody, sound the bells. But Ruby Riott did. I think that she put herself on the map here and got eyeballs on her to show management, to show fans that she can work. She's not just this tattooed up former leader of a of one of the most underwhelming groups in WWE women's history of the Riott Squad, which was nothing more than just a feeding ground for Ronda Rousey last year to just tear through at a record pace. So I think Ruby Riott showed us what she can do because she was given the opportunity. So I enjoyed this match. Really, I truly did. So there's another bright spot. But overall, guys, I really enjoyed Raw. I mean, I know I had some criticisms, as I always do, and my thoughts on Ronda Rousey are what they are. I'm not apologizing for anything I ever say. I mean, that's how I feel. I'm not going to apologize for how I feel. And if you're offended by Jerry Lawler's comments, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. As Jim Cornette said, and I'm going to kind of piggyback on that, I don't know how you walk in public and just walk outside without breaking into tears. and you got to check out his response to Rousey. It's just flat out awesome. So, boy, there's a lot of free plugs there, Jim. But guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to support the show or you want to just tell me how terrible I am, head on over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review me. Many of you have taken me up on that offer, LOL. But that's fine. It's cool. Whatever. It comes with the territory. You can also head on over to Twitter and follow me there at the WWE Podcast. If you want to tweet at me or yell at me or call me a racist, because I'm sure that's coming. Whatever. It's such a lazy analysis. But no, whatever. It's cool. And you can also email me, realwwepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to get your question, if you want to get your audio on this show, email me your voice message at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. Just create a voice memo on your phone and send it. It's simple as that. And I will get this on the show. You guys have heard them before. Rant, a question, a comment, up to you. Try to keep it brief, 1 to 2 minutes tops, and I'll get you on there. You can also support the show in other ways by just telling your friends about the show. Pretty simple. Or going to the website and clicking on the Support the Show tab. And if you do shopping on Amazon, you just click on the banner and it'll start you right to Amazon as you normally would. And it kicks back a little bit to the show for whatever the heck you were going to normally buy anyway. So, guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. It's great to be back in the saddle in a normal week. It's not WrestleMania week. It is now building to WrestleMania 37 in LA. How about that? Let's look forward to that. WrestleMania 37 in LA in just over 11 months. So, yeah, we've got a while. But I hope everyone enjoys their night, their day, their whatever. And I'll be back tomorrow with some nostalgia, Thursday and Friday, AEW, NXT, and then back this coming weekend with a co-host yet to be named for a week in review as we kick off the Money in the Bank season and leave WrestleMania in the dust. Everyone enjoy yourselves. Stay safe. I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.